And we're live.
Dude, we've not been through it.
That is the origin of half of my personality.
We made it. It's 2024.
Hey, Chosen Girl fam. And welcome back to the Tell Me About It podcast, season 10.
We are thrilled to bring you more episodes every other Tuesday, ranging from special guests and hot takes to Bible studies and OG recipe Chosen Girl chats.
So join us on your podcast platform of choice. And if you love what you hear, we'd be honored to receive your 5-star review and feedback.
In between podcasts, you can find us on Instagram at Chosen Girl Movement or at thechosengirl.com for some pretty cute merch.
So ladies, grab your Chick-fil-A sweet tea with us.
Let's get this party started.
Y'all, sometimes life be life.
Life be life.
You know?
Yes, she is.
Anyway, I digress.
Hello and happy Tuesday, everyone.
Welcome back.
We are in one of my favorite places in the world, my grandma's kitchen, aka Moni.
The one and only.
There's only one. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the podcast, Moni. Well,
thank you so much, Sarah. I'm so excited to be here. Usually what is said in the kitchen stays in the kitchen.
That is a cardinal rule.
But today we're going to blow it wide open and it's going out for everybody.
Let me tell y'all, there have been some hot topics discussed at this very table for my whole life.
Big secrets.
Big secrets. Boy troubles. Boy successes.
Yes.
Friend troubles, friend successes.
What a gift.
Yeah. Moni sit me down at this table and say, now listen, do you know what you're doing?
That's a good grandmother right there.
I don't want to intrude.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be nosy, but let me tell you.
Or bossy.
But Moni is the definition of check yourself before you wreck yourself. That's what Moni is. Everybody needs a Moni in their life.
Absolutely.
To tell them,
hey,
this ain't good.
You got to be honest with people you love.
I know. That's the truth. And you've never steered me wrong.
Well, I'm glad.
As far as I know.
I don't think so.
I'm like, that'll preach right there.
I don't think so.
And she's already got a casserole going, a hash brown casserole, and a berry cobbler going. We'll get some coffee cranked up.
Yes.
Here after the podcast.
We have to eat.
I know. Moni is a great cook, and you may know her from her TikTok.
That's right.
What's your username, Moni?
I don't know.
M-O-N-E?
I think so.
Lily made her, my little sister, y'all know Lily. She's been on here a couple times. She made her a TikTok, and you've kind of gone viral.
I'm pretty famous.
Yes.
I mean, what can you say?
We got to monetize that.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get some.
Yes.
Some residual income.
I need moolah. I need it.
Maybe we should talk about prosperity gospel today.
That's a
perfect segue.
Yes. But today, we are so excited to talk about something that Moni has really been just a put her money where her mouth is advocate for just these principles. Mm-hmm. And that is being a reacher in your life, reaching out to people, sacrificing your time for people, for the furtherance of the gospel. So we've got a lot of new Christians here, Moni, which is great. Mm-hmm. Or Christians who may have, stopped going to church for a while and they're just now getting back into it. And, of course, when you're a new Christian, I think it's Paul that uses the metaphor of, when you're a baby Christian, you eat baby food, but then there's a time where you got to get off the milk and get into the meat.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that part of that meat that we so often miss is investing in the lives of the people around us and building community for the kingdom of God. So, y'all need to put on some steel-toed shoes because Moni could very well step on your toes.
That's all right.
But in love.
In love. Always in love. We do everything in love.
Always in love.
Yes.
So, Moni, why is it important to reach out to other people in your life as a part of your faith? And I'm not talking about sharing the gospel.
Right. You're talking about spending time investing.
That's right.
In people. Well, first of all, I would say the reason that we need to invest in others is because that's what Jesus did.
Period. Mm-hmm. We could stop it all there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And as Christians, we're supposed to be following, he is our example. So we need to do what he did. And he came to give us life and give it more abundantly.
Yeah.
So I know that if he took time to be close to the brokenhearted, what does that say I'm supposed to do? Mm-hmm. If he took time to be with people, then what does that say I'm supposed to do? So I feel like if I'm really serious about wanting to follow Jesus, mm-hmm. I have to learn how to invest in other people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not something that you're born with.
Ooh, that's good. Yeah, so it doesn't come naturally.
It does not come natural. It is an intentional choice to put other people first.
Mm-hmm.
And is that easy to do? No. Guess who I want to put first?
Yeah.
Myself and my own family. But, you know, that's not what Jesus did, and I want to follow him. So it's not something that we are born with. You know, if you don't believe that, watch little children play. You know, they don't want to share.
Mm-hmm.
They want to say mine. So we need to learn how to be servants.
Dolly, everyone.
Yeah. To be servants and to give and to invest. And what are we going to do about that dog?
I mean, Coke is present for half of our recording, so they know we're a dog-friendly podcast.
Okay,
it's fine.
But anyway.
We probably won't even be able to hear that on here. Yeah.
But anyway, that's one reason that I want to. And I want to see people's lives change.
Yeah.
Because of something I've said or done. You know, I can't think of any greater thing than for someone to say, she made a difference in my life.
Right. Mm-hmm. And yeah. When we're so focused on ourselves, that thought of even impacting someone isn't in the forefront of our mind.
Mm-mm.
Of being the hands and feet of Jesus.
That's
it's so
right.
easy to just think about our needs and our wants, which to a certain extent is important.
Sure,
but then
there has to be balance.
Exactly.
It has to be balance. And you have to understand that you're not looking for credit. You're looking for results.
Okay. Ooh. Betty Ann.
Yes.
Okay.
But see, so many times we're looking for credit. And the credit is not what we need. We need results.
That's really good.
We need to see somebody's lives change. And I was very blessed because I had parents that taught me that. And they taught me that through example.
They did.
They didn't tell me that. They showed me that. All the time they showed me that. So I learned early on about being a good hostess, being a good servant, giving people time, giving people money, just anything that has to do with serving. You know,
yes.
And I've got lots of good stories about that.
I know, and I want to get into those. But I think that something, too, that is so important to touch on with that is the word that you said, time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's something that is probably more valuable than money or any other resource.
Absolutely.
And that is time. And I think that you hit the nail on the head when you said it doesn't come natural. You almost have to acquire an ability to open your eyes.
Yeah.
To look, you can't look down.
You've got to
be looking around.
That's right.
And I think if you pray for that, I think the Lord will answer that prayer, mm-hmm. because you're not doing that for yourself. You're doing it for Him and His glory.
That's
and for
exactly
other people.
Right. That's just like when you go in a restaurant. I say this all the time. When I go in a restaurant and I see an old lady like me waiting a table,
mm-hmm.
bet your bottom dollar it's not because she loves to be at Cracker Barrel.
Right.
It's because she's needing some extra money.
Yes.
So, you know, and it doesn't matter if it's $5 extra, $20 extra, it's not the amount a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the idea that you're willing to be sensitive to people around you. You see a young lady that's going to have a baby, and she's waiting tables, and she looks like she's exhausted.
Yes.
You know, what I do, and I learned this from somebody else, I have a little extra billfold that I used to be able to keep 100 in it. I don't do that anymore since Social Security is my bag. I keep 20 in it now. But that is not for me to spend. That's for somebody that needs it.
Wow.
And that I always have it. I always have it with me, you know. So
I love that, because I was going to ask, what some of your recommendations are for those people that feel like they're just very introverted and they're not the ones that would go. I think all of us here at the table are all extroverts.
It's really hard for me to give advice on
that. I know. We've never been introverted today in our
lives.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things, if you aren't someone that talks a lot, but exactly what you said, preparing to do good before, you know, the opportunity arrives.
Yes.
That's thinking in advance, if that's having something to give to somebody, or I've seen one of the community partners we've worked with had these, he liked to do woodworking and had these crosses. And when he would come across people that felt like they, you know, just felt led to give them one, and it was one that just fits really close in the palm of his hand, it was something that he liked to do. And I thought, what a nice thing to think about. Like, in advance, I have a craft and a skill that I have. I'm going to use it to create something to give away.
That's good.
And how often do we actually do that?
That's great. And, you know, it doesn't have to be money, and it doesn't have to be time.
Mm-hmm.
It can just be a smile or emotion or just the least little thing. We don't know what someone else is going through. And, you know, being a servant, when you serve all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's not a thing that you do once in a while. You're a servant all the time. If you have a heart to serve, you have to do it all the time. Now, do you feel like doing it all the time? No.
No.
But you make that motivation, it motivates you to do it. And when you do it, then it gets easier, and it gets easier to do.
And I think it's very layered, too, because you're talking about there's one level where there's people that you don't know. That could be the server that you're talking about, the person that's checking you out at Aldi. You know, it could be someone that you see regularly at a ball game for your grandkids. There are many layers. The top one, I'd say probably acquaintance/stranger, where, like you said, tipping extra, just going out of your way to be nice to people. I think even, like, I always try and I never want to, like, insult someone.
No.
If there's someone who's struggling, putting their groceries in the car, giving them a helping hand, things like that. Like, the other day, I saw this mom, and poor thing, her kids are just acting awful in public. She had a double stroller, looked like they were back-to-back ages, and her daughter threw her phone out of the stroller, and her mom's hands were full with snacks. So I went and got the phone for her and gave it back, because I really empathized with her, honestly.
Yeah.
And I thought, man, she doesn't have an extra hand to get this phone. And so just simple, and I'm not saying that to brag on myself, I'm saying that didn't cost a dime.
No.
That's just having your eyes open and being aware to those around you.
Being sensitive to others.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And then I think that there's a deeper level that could be just within your friend circle or your church circle. I think, let's talk about church specifically, where you have been a reacher of people, doesn't matter what their age, what they're going through, what they look like to the community, what reputation they have. I've seen you so many times take a phone call out of the room that you probably didn't want to take.
Really?
Or text somebody back, or go pick up somebody from the gas station. I can't tell you how many times I've witnessed that happen. So let's talk about that for a little bit. And could you start with the story that you told me about your mom and dad picking up that family?
Yes, sure.
She's told me the story for years, and I think that it's one that needs to be shared with everybody.
When my mom and dad became serious about going to church and being part of the core group at church, I heard my dad say to my mother, I was about 12, that there was a single mother that lived across town that had three children, and that he felt like that he and mom should go pick them up on Sunday and take them to church every Sunday.
Yeah.
So let's prefix this with, I got no blessing out of this because I was really upset about it.
How old were you?
I was 12.
12, okay.
12 or 13, and I had to leave about 30 minutes early. It took about 30 minutes to take them home. And this is the good part. They were never ready. Never. You know, the mother, oh, I'm sorry, we overslept. We'll be ready in just a minute. And I think, you know, if my dad's willing to come and pick your children up, can't you get up and get them ready?
And to clarify, the mom wasn't going, the kids were.
No, the mom didn't go. Lots of afternoons we'd have something at church, and my dad would ask her ahead of time, can the kids stay? Can I take them to eat? Can we go get a hamburger? Mm-hmm. He and my mom went out of their way for those three children.
Mm-hmm.
Every week for 1 year.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
For 1 year. Okay, so eventually we moved back to the country and I lost out with that family. And I didn't go to that church anymore.
This was when you lived in Nashville.
Yes, that's okay. When I lived in Nashville. Mm-hmm. So they were having a special service at the church, and the pastor, that was my pastor, invited me to come. My daddy had already went to heaven by then.
Mm-hmm.
It was a long time later. And so Brother Hardwick said to me, he said, I want to show you something. Come here.
Mm-hmm.
And so he took me down to the front, and he said, you see that third row, those people in that third row, do you know them? And I said, no, sir, I don't know any of those people. He said, yeah, you do.
Wow.
And I said, who are they? He said, that is the three children, their spouses, and their children.
Wow.
That your dad and mother picked up for a year. They're faithful. They come every time the door opens. And look at that old lady at the end of the
Oh, my gosh.
That crazy lady. That's the mother.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. And your dad never got to see that.
He never saw that. Mm. My dad sowed the seeds. He watered the seeds. Then someone else mm-hmm. reaped the seeds.
Yeah.
But I think he's reaping them now.
Right.
You know.
That's treasures in heaven right there.
Absolutely. And one thing about it, my dad always had the idea, but my mom always went along with it. You know, a woman could have said, I'm cooking lunch. I don't have time to do that. But she didn't. She always said, yes, that sounds like a great idea. I don't know how she really felt, but that's what she did. Oh,
well, so one thing that your mother said to me all the time, I got the pleasure of being with her a lot, her past 3 years of life, and with you too.
Yeah.
Not in your last 3 years. No. Life, just three random years of your life.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry to clarify, everybody.
Yes, I have many more.
Yes. Yes. Moni is good. She would say love shows.
It does.
Mm. And I think that if we're pouring from our own human love, it's going to run out. But if we have love of God in us,
that's right.
Then that's what Papa was working off of.
Yes. And not only did he do that, he did that all my life. I remember we have a lady that comes to our church, and so I said to her the other day, I said, what was your maiden name? And she told me, and she said, when she told me the name, I said, wow, is your daddy so-and-so? And she said, yeah. I said, my daddy picked him up as a little kid. I remember him.
Wow.
And now she's coming to church where my son passed.
Right.
You know, and they had him, and they taught me that, see.
Yes.
They taught me that, and I saw that through examples. So I had a up on a lot of things that I do because I knew it worked.
Yes.
I knew it worked.
Well, and I feel like a lot of people go to church with the mindset of how can this serve me?
Well, especially in the generation we're living in today.
Exactly. If I don't like the music, I'm mad. If I don't like the preaching, I'm mad. If the kids aren't doing this or this or this, I don't want to go to a church that don't serve coffee in the mornings or whatever, you know. And it couldn't be more, if you look at the way that your parents lived and the way that you've lived and the way that you've raised us and our parents have raised us, and also at how the first church established by Peter did church. I mean,
that's
faith
right.
without works is dead.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, our works don't get us salvation, but it's not about accepting the service. It's about giving.
That's right.
As a part of the service.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Well, I was blessed, like I say, to be taught by example to really care. You have to really love people to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's what Jesus tells us to do. That's the most important thing we're supposed to do,
mm-hmm.
is to love Him with all our heart and then love other people as we love ourselves. When you love someone, if I think as much of Liz as I do myself, I'm going to do things for Liz.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to do it. And I tell you what I've also found. I found that age makes no difference. You know, we can reach out, you know, to any age group, and they will like it.
Yes.
If it's little children, if it's teenagers, if it's the elderly, people like people. and people want you to be interested. And if you're truly and really interested in them and what they're doing, they will know you're sincere. Mm-hmm. They will know if you're genuine or not.
I could not agree more. And we talk a lot about how Chosen Girl has become a podcast really for the ages of like 20 to 40. Because if you think about it, there's a lot of things for girls ministry when they're teenagers, which is so needed, mm-hmm. for college girls, which is so needed. And then it kind of jumps to moms,
yeah.
which is also so needed. And then women's ministry.
Mm-hmm.
But there's kind of this no man's land in the middle,
mm-hmm.
where women, there's not a lot of, it's either you're in school or you're a mom and a wife.
Yeah.
And there's not really a lot in the middle. So we kind of feel like we exist for a little bit of everybody. And I love what you said about if you love people and you're interested in people, it doesn't matter what age is ministering to what age.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen you, even to this day, you are a mentor to girls who go to Cumberland University.
I just got a text from a teenage girl that's telling me.
Do you want to share your age?
She's telling me about her boyfriend.
Right? Yes.
Well.
You know, so. And the reason for that is because I care about that young lady. And I
right.
care about her. And when she comes here, or when we get together and we talk about things, I always try to pray with her. I
mm-hmm.
always try to listen to her. You know, you don't have to do a lot of talking if you can listen.
That's really good.
You know, if you can listen, people want to have somebody to talk. Same way with children. Same way with little children.
Mm-hmm. That's
you know,
so true.
You've got to listen to them and spend time with them.
Well, I know that we know a good place to start with that kind of service. But to someone who's thinking, I don't know where to get started with this, what would you suggest with just how to get involved in serving and where knowing where to serve? What would you do? What advice would you give to the listener
okay.
of getting started in serving the Lord?
Well, and what you're talking about is investing in other people.
Yes, or getting, I mean, I know the church is a great place to start,
mm-hmm.
but this doesn't have to be confined to the walls of a church either.
No, I think it's important. I'm a big church person. Everybody that
right.
knows me knows that. You know, Doug says if he had 5 services a week, that Mom would try to go to all of them.
And you would go to
mm-hmm.
all of them.
Yeah, because I'm a big church person because I just am. But I have found that to have a one-on-one with people, you've got to do a whole lot outside of the church.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to have a rapport with people outside of the church. And so if you're interested in helping someone or being the what you need to be, you can't just do it at church.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just do it at church. You've got to have... You've got to be willing to open your home up. You've got to be willing to give your time. There's just so many things that you have to be a very unselfish person.
I agree.
Yeah.
You have to be unselfish. And that's not easy.
It's not.
That's not an easy job to do, you know.
Right.
And you got to really be sincere and really care about people.
Mm-hmm.
I think that one thing that is so simple that I've seen you do is simply follow up with people.
I do that, yes.
One thing that Moni does, and this is such a lost art, and I need to do better at this, is she'll get somebody's number or get them on Facebook or Instagram, and she will actually message them
mm-hmm.
and say, How are you doing? I saw you at the ball game and I haven't seen you in
yeah.
a while. Or, hey, I saw you visited church for the first time. I wanted to see how you like it. You want to come over to my house for a cup of coffee? And she
mm-hmm.
actually follows up. And so I'm sure through the years, some people message back, some people don't. Some people call back, some people don't. But, I mean, that's the risk that you
mm-hmm.
take of putting yourself out there. You're never going to know what could have happened or
that's
what
right.
could not have happened if you don't.
Well, and as
don't
long as I'm
out.
Sowing the seed, it really, once again, you know, as long as I sow the seed and they get out there, I may not see it come up, but
yes.
it will sooner.
Mm-hmm.
The word never goes out void.
That's right.
That's right.
It never goes out void. And so if I'm sowing the seed and I'm helping somebody, sooner or later, it will work for them.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I feel like, you know, I feel like it'll work for them sooner or later. And I think it's really important to make people feel special.
Yes. Everybody wants to feel special.
Yes. And you know what is so good about this? And this works. This is how good God is. You know, Lily is my last grandchild. And I have great-grandchildren, but she's my last one that spent a lot of time with me. And so this year has changed a lot for me and Lily. Lily, I still talk to Lily. Lily still texts me. We're still close. But she's not at my house every afternoon. And she's not wanting me to take her to Walmart. And she doesn't need me to do things for her anymore. So it was a great adjustment. But what God did in His wonderful love and compassion, He has sent me 5 other teenage girls that need my input.
And share with Liz what you told me yesterday about just how symbiotic this relationship is. I just love that you, and you basically just said it, of how at a time where you wanted and needed a young person in your life, they also needed that mentorship
yes.
and wisdom in their life, in a very hard time in their life. So it's not, yes, you are, I know that you are, you don't even have to tell me, probably when they come in, staying up later than you usually do.
Oh, I do.
Or taking phone calls when you, you know, are at home and clean, you're always doing something.
Mm-hmm.
But you pause and spend time with them and invest into them and pour into them. But your cup is also being filled at the
yes.
same time.
That's what God does.
So that's amazing.
That's how He works things out, you know. And as you grow, you know, you have to get older, I think, to really, like, when I turned 60, I realized I've put in more time than I've got coming.
Mm-hmm.
So I consider, I really do consider every day I consider, what am I going to do?
That is good.
Who am I going to influence? What? And I didn't do that when I was young because life happened. I did it to a degree.
Well, you also raised 2 boys being a single mom and lot of other stuff.
I did, but I did it to a degree, but I wasn't as serious about it as I am today because I know my time is running out and I want to be sure that I use it all in the way that I need to use it and influence other people. It's so important how you influence other people and what you say to other people, you know.
Right.
How you talk to them. And you know, even the children at church and even children everywhere, you know, Sunday before last, I had a new little boy that came to church, and I made a point to talk to him. I saw him. I knew he was new. I went to him, and I said, I don't think I know you. What's your name? And he told me his name, and I said, well, I'm Money. I said, now that's money without the Y. Can you think of that? And anyway, we talked. He was probably 10. So this Sunday on Easter, he came back, and I saw him looking, you know, and I waved at him. And he came to me, and he had an Easter egg. And he said, I made this for you.
Oh, my God.
And he gave me the Easter egg, and he had a piece of paper in it. And I opened it up, and he said, Happy Easter to you.
That makes me cry.
That's so sweet.
And I said, is this for me? And I said, do you want to take it and give it to somebody else and make somebody else have a special Easter, too? He said, no, ma'am. That's just yours.
Oh.
Now, all I did was ask that kid his name.
You noticed him.
I noticed him. And I think he really made that for me.
And who in life doesn't want connection?
Exactly.
Well, everybody
truly.
Wants connection. Everybody but Bernie.
Bernie is Moni's husband. Everybody, my grandfather.
Excuse me, Lord.
Now, we never said Moni's nice all the time.
No.
I'm just kidding.
At home.
Moni is so savage. It's awesome. She's my role model.
But everybody does. Everybody wants somebody to love them and pay attention to them. And everybody wants to tell somebody their story.
They just want somebody to listen to it.
They want to tell you their story. They've got a story, and they want somebody to listen to that story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, listening is more important than talking.
That's so true.
If you listen to someone. And really, I think the main thing we need to do is be intentional about what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Be intentional. Now, as far as learning how to do this for people that have never done it, maybe you need to just get in the Word more, because the Word talks about it, and it talks about how we're supposed to treat people, how we're supposed to entertain strangers.
Would you say, like, New Testament letters is a good place to start with that?
Absolutely.
I mean, also reading the Gospels, like, about how Jesus acted.
Yes.
He put himself in positions, like, even he went out of his way to that well that one day to talk to that lady who had, like, five husbands or something.
Yeah.
Been married five times. I'm doing great.
And was living with the man that wasn't her husband.
That's right.
At that time.
And he revealed, I was listening to it, this is a complete rabbit trail. I was listening to this guy talk about that, preaching about that verse the other day. And he said, a lot of people think that Jesus said that to condemn the woman for her actions, but he did it to show himself as the Son of God. Because nobody else would have been talking, first of all, them talking at all was taboo. Second
Jesus
of all, that's right. And second of all, him still talking to her and accepting her, knowing the most horrible parts of her, probably was so mesmerizing to her. But she knew immediately when he said that.
Yeah.
This is a special man.
Well, and then guess what she did? She went to her village immediately. I said, let me tell you about this guy.
Man. Yes.
She started telling about it.
We'll have you back to talk about female preachers.
I love it.
I do too.
But, you know, she immediately jumped on that and, and started talking about it and telling other people about it.
Because it's shown on the map where he went was not in anywhere in the path of where he was going. So it's not, oh, on the way here, I'll try to reach out to this person. No, he went out of his way. And you've oftentimes made yourself available, not only in the community, you're always so involved in fundraisers and ball games, and how many frozen pizzas have you bought from people, and cookie dough? The ferns that you showed me outside were from a dumb school.
I don't even like ferns.
I know. She said, I don't even like ferns, but I bought them from a kid that asked me to buy them.
I love this little girl, and I wanted to help.
I know. And so it's not always easy, but you've made yourself available, whether that's at church. And I think that so many times people wait for God to, quote unquote, send them a sign. And is our God a God of signs? Absolutely. But it's already been told to us that we need to be the
sign.
That's right. Thank you. That we need to be the hands and feet.
Mm-hmm. I also think that we're under the idea that it's supposed to be something big.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be big. Sometimes the most minute, small action is the most important action.
Right.
I have seen that in my own life so many times with young people and with other friends that, you know, you would think it didn't amount to anything, but it was big to them. So a lot of times, you know, that's like giving. A lot of times people want to wait till they have a lot to give. And you won't ever get $1,000 to give extra.
Right.
But you'll have 10. You know, so it's not the amount, it's not the big thing you do.
Right.
Sometimes it's the little things.
The intention behind it.
Yes.
You know, while we're sitting here talking, I'm being reminded of, I was at a work thing this past week, working with some college students, and I've said on the podcast before that I love having a list of questions if you are an introverted person and you don't know what to say. I just have this list because it's a good conversation starter. But what I forgot about is how much it allows someone to feel free to open up and to say, oh, this is, you know, and it's got all kinds of questions about.
We need to publish that.
Oh, girl. It's an ongoing list of things like, you know, what is something that's made you proud? What is a compliment someone's given you? What do you like about yourself? What, you know, what's the last thing you've done that made yourself proud of you? And it's an opportunity, like you mentioned, for someone to talk about themselves, to open up a little bit. But I think that opens that door for someone whenever, not just you're having this positive moment, but when they say, I'm struggling, and I know that this person is a safe person,
yes, mm-hmm,
that I can come to, and I can, and that they're welcoming, and I, you know, I can receive advice from them and trust them. And I think that's part of the foundation of discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
That's everything that you've mentioned.
And, you know, like Sarah was talking about me being honest with people and saying what I feel like is truth for
mm-hmm
them. The reason I can do that is because they know I love them.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's a good point.
That's good.
If you don't love them, you can't say that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's biblical.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
You know that verse that talks about going to, it says if they're a brother or sister
mm-hmm
in Christ. And so that means you've got to be as close as
yes
family
yeah
yes
to go and approach that person. And I think that people think that telling about the gospel is the opposite. Like, let me point out everything you're doing wrong.
No.
Right.
And then you can come
that most people
to
know
the
what
Lord
they're doing wrong.
That's right.
They don't need anybody to tell them.
Yes.
They need somebody to help them find a way out of it.
Yeah,
that's right.
Not, you know, not tell them what they're doing wrong. But when you love somebody, you can say, you know, I think we need to stop and think about this.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or as Moni says to me, earth to Sarah.
Yeah.
I love that.
I had to say that a lot when she was growing up.
Mm-hmm. We all probably need to say to us far more often. But you're absolutely right. Just that the space to be honest, that honesty is also a part of love that I think
yeah
we also have to keep in mind.
You can't be honest if you don't. I mean, they won't accept it
mm-hmm
if they know you don't really love them.
Yeah,
that's right. And I'd also like to point out, too, kind of going back to making yourself available, it doesn't matter. I feel like a lot of people take things so literally, thinking, well, I would love to volunteer at church during the week, but I work from 9 to 6 or whatever. You make yourself available right where God has planted you. There
That's
are
right.
coworkers around you.
Mm-hmm.
I think of when I was in high school, Moni was substitute teacher at my high school.
Love.
I know. One time I was dating this guy I shouldn't have been dating, and she found out. And I saw her walking down the hall on the war path.
Oh, my
She pointed
gosh
at me, and I thought, can I turn and run the other way? She said, what are you thinking?
I love it.
That's just, everybody needs somebody like
mm-hmm
that. And I broke up with him about an hour later.
You know what she said? She said, he can sing good. I said, who cares how he sings?
I love it.
Yeah. Not much long after I met you and my husband.
Oh, my gosh. Everybody.
Say she hadn't done it. She wasn't been ready.
That's true.
And I hate saying you were right.
That's
but
true.
She was.
But anyway.
You were
talking about school.
Being at school, being with all of those young people. I'm officially old now that I call teenagers young people.
But it was wonderful for me.
Absolutely. And you were doing it, one, because you loved it, and two, it paid really well.
Yes.
But three, it was just, I mean, how many people, probably from age 15 to 30 or 35 now, because you subbed long before I started high school.
I subbed a long time.
Do you see in Walmart, say, hey, Moni. You have no idea who they are.
The other day, I was at Walmart, and this is such a great story. I was at Walmart, and in three different aisles, I had three different kids that were married with children. And when I saw them, hey, Moni, I wish I was back in school.
You probably didn't know who they were.
Well, some of them I did, and some of them I didn't. I knew them. I knew
mm-hmm
their faces.
Yes.
But, you know, you're right. You have to work where you are.
Yes.
So God's going to put you at the right place at the right time. And for that service that He's got for you, that ministry
yes
He has for you, you know.
And a lot of it is bare minimum stuff, I would say.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Being kind to people, being considerate of people. If someone has had a baby, hey, take them some food.
Absolutely.
It doesn't even have to be a home-cooked meal. Who doesn't love some Chick-fil-A nuggets? You
yes
know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
This is not sponsored, but I already asked my friend if I put a bug in her ear about that. I got a friend with some Chick-fil-A connections.
Well, you know, the Bible says that we want to lay our treasures up in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way we do it.
Well, let's talk about this, too, before we talk about some other points to wrap up. Let's talk about credit. Let's talk about so many times when people do that now, which I know it wasn't like this when you were growing up, but people want to put it on their Instagram story.
Oh, yeah.
or on their Snapchat mm-hmm. story or whatever.
That they did something good for somebody.
Yeah. Yes. So what's your opinion on that?
Well, let you know, loose. It's mm-hmm. it's real easy. It's real easy. You know, the Bible says plain as day, if you get your credit here, you don't get any later on. You know, yeah. if man brags on you, then God won't. And, you know, if man doesn't, the Bible says don't let your right hand know what your left hand's mm-hmm. doing. Mm-hmm. That means you keep quiet about it. And then the Heavenly Father, Jesus, will go before the Heavenly Father and say, look at there.
Wow.
Look what yeah. they're doing. Look at there. And say, that's what I want. I don't want the acclimate of people here. Because that, when I get that, I don't get anything else. I want the right. treasures mm-hmm. in heaven that no one can steal and moth can't corrupt.
That's right. Ooh. But you know what's really beautiful to me is that despite of all the things that you've done in secret, there's probably dozens and dozens of things that I don't know about, that I will never know about, that I will probably never know about until I get to heaven.
Well, there's some secrets that I don't want anybody to know.
That's right. You'll go to the grave.
Yes.
But even despite that, you get to reap a lot of the fruit of it here because of the love you've poured into people. They love you in return.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, that's just like Tyler writing me that letter.
I know.
Well, I had a young man that was Sarah's friend, mm-hmm. and he was one of my children. You know, I've got so many.
He still comes mm-hmm. to Christmas.
Yes.
I love it.
This was 12 years ago that we were in school together.
He has one time I got him across, and he just, you know, he wasn't raised up in a Christian home. And he said, I have so many people ask me about this cross. And I tell them what you've told me. So think about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
And now he's gotten his doctorate.
Yes.
We're so proud of him.
And he wrote me this letter mm-hmm. that said, you know, it was just wonderful. And, you know, he used to, when he was in high school, he would say, can I come over there? And I can remember it so plainly. I'd say, now I'm going to give you 1 hour tonight. 1 hour. It's late. It's 8:00.
Girlfriend troubles.
Yeah. And you can come for 1 hour. And then I can't sit up all night. But, you know, he always would be, he would always come.
Yeah.
Mm. And he would, every Sunday afternoon, he would come here and eat supper with me. He worked at Bonnell all weekend. And then he would come by here greasy and dirty. And I would save him supper from my lunch, from dinner is what I call it. And then he would eat supper. And then he'd go back to school at Tech mm. and work all week at Red Lobster.
Yeah.
You know.
Wow.
And he is one of my success stories. There's a lot of stories that weren't, that mm-hmm. that don't, they don't seem successful,
mm-hmm.
but they, we don't know if they're successful. See, it's not over yet.
Mm. Well, and I love, there's a line in Hamilton, the Alexander Hamilton play, you know, mm-hmm. and it says, legacy is sowing seeds in a garden you may never get to see.
Yes, that's mm-hmm. so true. That is so
and
true.
So if we're doing these things in vain, looking for validation, I don't think, one, that you're not doing that out of love. You're doing that out of pride. So I don't think you're going to get the fruit of being loved in return.
You have to be humble.
Right. Yeah. And then two, like you said, you're getting your reward here. I just don't think it's going to work out the way that people think that it will. Mm-hmm.
But you know, motivation. You're right. You know, you see some, and I think that's the day we're living in. That it, there's so many people that won't. That praise now,
yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. and it's nice to have somebody say something nice about you. Mm-hmm. You
yes.
know. One time Sarah was cleaning up the room for me, Liz, and she found this letter. And she said, oh, Mommy, this is the sweetest letter. It says, and I said, well, what was it from? What was it saying? She said, well, this lady says that if it hadn't been for you, she wouldn't have had any Christmas. And she just, it's so sweet.
And let me tell y'all this, Moni ain't rich either. So y'all think that I'm some heiress over here talking about my rich grandma.
No. And she said, you wouldn't have any Christmas and da 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 da. And she said, who was that? And she said, her name's Linda. Who is Linda? And I said, I have no idea.
The funniest thing was, we were cleaning in this room in here, and she gets a phone call. She puts it on speaker. I said, Betty Ann, I've just been missing you so much. And Moni goes, well, hi, who is this? I can't remember who it was. Like, we'll call her Linda, too. And she said, well, Linda, and she covers on, she goes, I have no idea who this is. And I was like, well, just ask her a question. She goes, Betty Ann, I wanted to tell you what you told me the last time I saw you. It just really, it changed everything. I got a new job. And Monty said, well, how's your family doing? Again, she has no idea who this woman is. She goes, oh, you know, Daddy, he's just doing his thing. Monty did not know who it was until weeks later.
And I figured it out.
She figured it out through a series of Facebook posts, I think.
Yeah, I think it was.
And just carried on probably a good, 15-minute conversation with her, having no idea.
Let me tell you what. Let me tell you that y'all know that I'm such an image person. And the imagery that comes to mind with that story is that the idea of a farmer planting, tomato slips or, the tomato plants. And imagine that you have planted so many that you can't remember what fruit comes from what plant. And what a blessing that is.
Wow.
Don't you remember that this came from this plant? Nope, I don't, because you've been planting so many. And what
that's
a gift that
so
is.
That's cool. Well.
Because at the end of the day, you can't take it with you, you know?
No. Mm-mm. And that's doing the Lord's work.
It is doing the Lord's work. But, you know, it doesn't matter about, I'm a little embarrassed because, you know, I have so many shortcomings. You know, I'm a long way from being up there. But I do love people.
Mm-hmm. You do.
I do love people. And I do want to help people. And I do want to be, when I die, I want to be known as a generous person that loves people.
Mm-hmm.
That's so important to me, you know.
Love shows.
It does.
You showed it.
It does. Being generous and being kind to people is all, that and your relationship with Jesus Christ is all that matters.
That's right.
And as you girls get older, it will become more emphatic to you that that's all that matters.
Right.
You know. So,
amen.
Anyway.
Is there anything else you need? Go ahead.
I have one more thing that
Go
I want
ahead,
to bring
girl.
Up. When you were talking about Tyler, and you said that you invited him over, and you said you've got 1 hour.
Yeah.
I think that that's such a great point, that it does not mean that your love, your time, your money is endless, boundless. We are called to give it, but that does not mean that everything is just it's a free-flowing river over here.
Yeah.
You gave what you had in that moment, and you communicated that.
Boundaries.
And I think that that's so healthy to be mindful of, is that in our own individual searches to go out and do good works, that does not mean that just because you have, if you have $100 in your you know, that's left for the month, you don't have to give away your bill money to do something good for somebody.
Mm-mm.
And so don't let the idea of what it should look like keep you from doing the good work that you're called to.
Well, and if you're not careful, you'll lose sight, and then you'll become where you won't have any balance, and you don't want to do anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You've got to always have balance in everything. You've got to have balance,
which is why being fed is so important, because you cannot. It needs to be more of like a tiered fountain where someone's pouring into you, you pour into somebody else, and then they can pour into somebody else,
well,
and on and on and on.
You know, I've always told y'all, somebody's Billy Graham's Sunday school teacher.
That's right.
That's true.
Think of that.
That's right.
Think of that. You know.
I was at church on Sunday. I saw a friend of mine who has a lot of kids, and it was their first time at my church, and I saw just this sweet couple of teenage girls helping direct the kids to their class. And she said, y'all go on and get you a cup of coffee, and I'll get them settled in their class.
So sweet.
And I thought, it's just one person taking 2 minutes of their time. They know where the classes are. They're volunteering so that the adults can enjoy the service. Just I've seen you do that a ton of times. It doesn't take a lot of money or resources. That didn't even take a lot of time. It was just being there.
I think, I know you get ready to call us. I think.
No, you're good. We'll go as long as you want to.
I think one thing you were talking about, too, I was raised up in a generation so different that you were when I'm at church, or not just at church, when I'm anywhere, I'm watching for someone that I can reach out to. Like, you know, if there's a new person at church, I always know if there's a new person at church.
Yes.
Because I'm watching.
Mm-hmm.
I sit on the back where I can see who's new.
Mm-hmm.
And see, I'm not there just to get what I can get for me. I'm there to give what I can give to somebody else. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the generation that I was raised in, I think. So mm-hmm. that means that your generation's got to work on that harder.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
oh, I agree.
Because some of your people weren't taught that.
Mm-hmm.
Like you were mm-hmm. and Liz was.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Which is why multi-generational relationships are so important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I read somewhere the other day that in 3 generations.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm,
that's my 3 kids.
I'm in wow. my winter season, I think. So that's why I think of the
like you this. Said your 4th quarter.
Yeah, I'm 4th quarter. In 3 generations, more than likely in 3 generations, no one will remember your name.
Wow.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I thought, jeepers. Now, there's some people we're going to remember their name, right. Of course.
Yes.
You know. But, I mean, you know. Billy Graham, we're going to remember his name.
But I think about this, you know, I saw a similar, it was a poem, and it was talking about how much you don't realize that you affect people.
Mm-hmm.
They said someone might have given you your favorite coffee mug that you drink out of every day, or I happened to think about, there was a guy I went to high school with that I was in plays with, that we would go to Sonic after play practice, and we were such good friends, and we loved being in plays together, and every time he would order vanilla sweet tea, or he would get one for me. And to this day, I still, thank 15 you. Years later, I still at Sonic order vanilla sweet teas.
Mm-hmm.
Or something that you said that impacted somebody. Mm-hmm. Or I think of recipes that I make for the boys that my poppy made for me.
Sure.
That his mother probably made for him.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they'll probably never know her name,
It doesn't
matter. Well, her legacy is still living on.
And legacy in one way is or more another. Important than name, though.
That's mm-hmm. the truth.
Wow. It's so much mm-hmm. more important.
That's the truth.
What you teach them and what they learn and how they learn it and how they live, that is so much more. And, you know, the Bible is full of speaking of inheritance, you know, and I don't have a lot of money and I won't leave my children. We've blown most of my money.
We've had a great time.
We've had so much fun. But, you know, I used to say, dollar menu. And then we'd get out there and I'd say, just blow it.
Just get a Coke.
Yeah, you can have a Coke.
But, I love it.
But anyway, if you don't remember their name, it's not as important as remembering mm-hmm. things mm-hmm. they've taught you. Godly wisdom.
That's right.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's right. Like one day I hope that my son's grandkids are saying, accidents happen.
Yeah.
It's okay. That's one thing Moni's always, if something goes wrong, hey, we don't have to cry. Accidents happen.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has an accident.
Accidents happen.
People spill stuff all the time. Stuff breaks all the mm-hmm. time.
Now, my boy right. said that didn't happen when they were growing up.
Yeah, accidents happen was a
that grandchild,
was a grandchild
thing,
yeah.
You know. But anyway. I had that on.
Thank you for sharing your wisdom today.
Well, you're just welcome. I hope that y'all, I enjoyed it. I hope you learned something.
You'll have to come back.
Yes.
Well, if I have anything to say, I will.
Okay.
Know? I certainly will. I think the most important thing I can say is that we need to really intentionally think about others
mm-hmm.
and see what we can do.
Love people.
To invest in them and help them. You know, that's all that's going to matter.
Amen.
Amen.
So anything else I can't think of, really. I think I've...
Well, when you think of something else, we get on rants mm-hmm. sometimes. So you're welcome to come on here anytime.
I was trying to think of another good story, but I can't really think of one right now.
There's too many to count.
There's a bunch of stories.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of stories. Let me tell this one real quick.
Sure, please do.
Before my mom and dad got serious about going to church, we moved to Nashville and we would come up to the country every weekend. And so my dad, and this is a good story because this tells what we were talking about,
mm-hmm.
about what is in the future. We would come up here. My dad and mom wouldn't go to church. they would go up here. So we had been going to a little church out in West Nashville, and so we lived in an upstairs apartment. One day the pastor came by after school, and, you know, I was raised that when the pastor comes, you know, you put the coffee on and you do this and you do that. It was an honor, you know. And so my mom and dad and I sat down. His name was Brother Wallace. And Dad said, Brother Wallace, we're glad to have you. How can we help you? And he looked at my daddy and he said, I'm here to find out why you're not bringing your family to church, Brother Blackburn.
Dang.
Wow.
Talk about boldness.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad said, well, you know, we just moved down here, and I have a job in a factory, and I had to buy me some shoes, some work shoes, and they've got those hard toes in them, and I don't have any Sunday shoes, and I guess maybe I'm not coming because I don't have any Sunday shoes.
Mm, wow.
And Brother Wallace said, what size do you wear, son?
Mm-hmm.
And my daddy told him, and he said, you'll have some tomorrow afternoon.
Wow.
Wow.
Now, if Brother Wallace had not done that, your life could have been completely different.
I think about, because your daddy ended up being a pastor.
Yes. But think
and
about.
And so did mine.
Yes. Think about his boldness in saying that. Well, I never remember us missing church again. Never. My dad, when he got those shoes, we put them on, and he went to church, and he was in the core group from then on.
That's right.
And, but see, you think, well, you know, if somebody did that now, I mean, you know, probably somebody would be so mad.
Offended, yeah.
Yeah, but because of his boldness and because of that, and because he felt, I'm sure the Holy Spirit told him to do that or he wouldn't have done it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But because of that, it changed generations of families
to
serve God. That's big.
That's right.
So that's another
praise
story
the Lord for that.
About my dad.
So good.
I bet your mama's got some stories like that too.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I love it. I love it because of the multiple parts that are there. The pastor that was obedient and that showed up. Your dad that was honest and willing.
Yeah.
And then willing to lean into it and to carry it on. And again, it's just planting those seeds. You may see the fruit, you may not. But regardless, keep showing up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it sure made a difference in my life.
Yeah.
And in my children's life, and my grandchildren, and my great-grandchildren.
That's right. All your children.
Yeah. So that's good. Well, are you girls ready for some fruit cobbler?
It's been smelling too good for
so
too long.
Good. Yeah.
It's time to eat.
Moni, thank you for being here. We love
you
so much.
Thank you all. This is really new for me, but I've enjoyed it.
Y'all make sure to follow Moni on TikTok. She preaches the word on TikTok while she's cooking, y'all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know. I wish y'all could eat this cobbler with us.
Mm-hmm. But we'll eat your portion, too.
We will.
It's a new cobbler, so I think
you probably don't
know
how to make it again.
Well,
Moni's a chemist in the kitchen.
Yeah. I took goulash to church the other night, and Doug said, this is a little different. I said, it's the extreme goulash. But
there's going to be listeners writing, what is goulash?
Everybody knows what goulash is.
No, Moni, nobody knows.
Well, I don't know what to say.
Get on our... Well, that's like I showed my friends your TikTok, and they said, is this your real grandma? I said, yes. What do you mean? Is this my real grandma? They said she's like a movie character off a Southern movie. I said, I know.
She's the best.
Well, thank you, girl.
We love you.
Love
thank
you.
You so. It was perfect.
Well,
it
good.
Was perfect.
Good.
Exactly what y'all need out there to be serving the Lord.
That's right. That's right.
Just get off your butt.
Get to it. Well, y'all, we'll catch you right back here in two Tuesdays.
Two Tuesdays.
Take it easy.
We love y'all.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
That was a word for somebody. For some, yes.